Phil Hendry.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And truth is our bitch in this show. Don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And you can get a backstage pass over there and watch our nightly video cast and listen to each and every podcast and go in and delve into and enjoy and dig through almost 5,000 hours. 5,000 hours of archived audio, full radio shows going back over 12, 13 years. And it's all there for you with a backstage pass. We also have our daily podcast, which we do produce from those archives. And our most recent podcast is one called Olive Garden Cowboy with Steve Bozell. It's a fan favorite, so check that out. I know we have Bobby Dooley here in just a moment. Ms. Dooley is the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. We're going to talk a little bit about Facebook because Mark Zuckerberg today unveiled a new search feature that's designed to entice people to spend more time on his company's website and will put the world's largest online social network more squarely in competition with Google and other rivals such as Yelp and LinkedIn. And LinkedIn's interesting. I get a lot of these emails. I get a lot of notices. You know, you are, so and such would like you to. I'm not, for those of you who have sent me invites on LinkedIn, I'm not on LinkedIn. I understand that I should be, and I apologize. It's not that I'm ignoring you. I'm just, if I am, I'm not aware of it. Maybe I joined and then forgot, but I'll try to get more up to speed on that. Zuckerberg stressed that graph search is different from an all-purpose search engine. It's a whole thing that Facebook is doing. And by the way, just for your information, Facebook closed today at $30.10 a share. The stock gained about $1.68, up about 2.7%, but it is still well below the initial public offering price, you'll recall, last May of $38 a share. And apparently investors were, no, it went down 2.7%, I'm sorry. Google stock gained $1.68. That's what I'm saying. Google is at $724 a share for Google. That's up in what used to be IBM territory back in the days of the blue chip stocks. Bobby Dooley joining us from Western Estates, California, a homeowners association president, and someone who, along with the other members of your board there, Ms. Dooley, you guys use Facebook, don't you?
Well, we do, Phil. We use Facebook as a way of seeing who our people in our community are. You're able to keep track of people, and you can see whether they're new residents, whether they're members of the Homeowners Association recently, or they've been there for a long time. Facebook is a wonderful, utility and asset to have to get to know your neighbors and to understand their interests and so forth.
Do you, and I wanted to ask you, other members of the board use Facebook to look at the profiles of members of the community? So the first thing that comes to my mind is, are you using Facebook as a way of, I don't know, what's the word, qualifying people?
Well, you know, people are going to buy a home in your community, and unless they are not able to, you know, and this is between them and the bank and the real estate company, unless they're able to, not able to afford the home, people are going to qualify as residents here at Western Estates. What we try to do is, when we are aware of people moving in, we will go to Facebook and take a look at their profile and take a look at their interests. Not everyone, obviously, you know, if you're not a friend of someone, you're not able to see what it is that they're interested in. And that presents a challenge for us. But by and large, we are able to at least, my husband Steve, Steve just said that you can, even if you're not a friend of someone, you can see basic information, what they look like.
Well, sometimes. It depends on what they make public.
Exactly, exactly. So we can glean some things, not a lot of things, from people's Facebook profile.
Bobby Dooley with us. Her husband, Steve Dooley, is also a member of the board, correct?
Yes, my husband Steve is our treasurer and our vice president.
And at the Western Estates Homeowners Association. So you have nothing to do with qualifying people. Obviously, as you said, that's the bank and that is the real estate company. You are there as a Homeowners Association president to field the questions, complaints, the concerns about homeowners, and so forth. So why do you need Facebook?
We need Facebook, Phil, or any social media site to get to know people, to see what they're about, to see their interests, to see if there's any red flags.
There's a lot of red flags, Mr. Henry, when you look at a Facebook profile.
What would be a red flag?
A red flag, and I think it's important for people to understand, that a red flag is not something that we're looking for. But you may see someone who has recently moved into your community, into Western Estates, and you see that they have artwork, for instance, that may be concerning, or they may have a way of expressing themselves that would concern you.
Such as?
I'm sorry, Phil, I didn't hear you.
Such as? What do you mean, a way of expressing themselves?
Some people, I think you've probably seen, and a lot of people would know this, I think. Are you on Facebook, Phil?
Yeah, I have a fan page and I got a friends page, yeah.
Okay, so you notice that there are some people who are constantly on Facebook. We think that that might be a red flag, maybe not, we don't know. They're always posting pictures of things that may be troubling, artwork of a certain nature, fantastic kinds of artwork, political. A lot of the people that we do want to speak with, at least, are people that post a lot of political points of view. There are a lot of people on Facebook that have ultra, and I've got no problem with right-wing politics, but they have very ultra-right-wing political points of view.
All right, we're talking with Bobby Dooley here. Our number, 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, and we're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley here about their Homeowners Association and their use of Facebook. Are there any other social media sites?
Well, yeah, you can use Twitter, but or some of the other ones, but we find Facebook to be the most, it reveals the most. You know.
Yeah, on Facebook, Mr. Henry, people put up pictures. They got a picture of different things. They got put up pictures and politics.
Yeah, the political point of view, the pictures, the constantly.
So in other words, and again, I want to get to this. People who are on Facebook and post things that are troubling or that are red flags are what?
Are you saying who are the people? Or?
No. What would be red flag things that people post on Facebook?
I think when you are posting a lot of pictures of, for instance, people that you don't know, strangers, things out of the newspaper, people that don't post profile pictures of themselves. I think one of the biggest red flags for us is that if you have a profile picture of something other than yourself, a lot of people have pictures of their dogs or their cats, and we certainly understand that people love their pets. But when you are using that as your profile picture constantly, and I'll give you an example, Steve, with the Sheridans, right?
Yeah, Sheridan.
I had to call Terry Sheridan, Teresa Sheridan, and I said, you are constantly posting a picture on your Facebook profile of your dog. And she asked me why I was asking, and I told her, I said, Terry, you don't post pictures of yourself. I understand that you may have an issue with the way you look.
Well, what was there something wrong with the way she looked?
There was nothing wrong with the way what was wrong was that she was, she had a weight problem. People have weight problems. It's not flattering to have a picture of yourself when you're overweight, but I said I didn't have any choice. I had to ask her to get a picture of herself on the website.
Why was it necessary for this woman to post a picture of herself if she was uncomfortable? No, but what I was saying is, if she's uncomfortable posting a picture of herself because she has a weight problem, why did you have to insist on? Because it sounds to me like you were insisting.
We had to.
Yeah, you had to insist on it because it does not reflect well.
Why doesn't it reflect well in the community?
It's not. It looks a little odd, and it looks a little strange to constantly have pictures of your dog or your cat, or pictures of the sunset, or especially misleading pictures. We really have a problem with that. If you are overweight, as Terry is, and you post pictures of, for instance, a fairy princess or something like this, you're giving people the impression that you look like...
No, you look like that.
Okay, and even if she does that, so what?
It reflects poorly on our roster of homeowners and individuals that we like to think are not... What's the word? I don't want to use the word shut-in, but we like to think are not so abnormal that they don't want to put pictures of themselves up. They want to pretend they're someone else. We're troubled by that.
All right, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley with us here as we talk about using Facebook. Their Homeowners Association uses Facebook to take a look at homeowners, to take a look at their interests, to take a look at the things that they say or do, and also prospective homeowners. And sometimes you're troubled by a lot of these things. Some of it has to do with the fact they don't use a picture of themselves for their profile picture. They use, you said, a fairy princess or...
Yeah, you know, it can be...
Not just that, but if they are overweight, Mr. Henry, they're fat, and they're fat and they're ugly, and they use a picture of a movie star like they're good-looking.
We do take exception to anyone that is not pleasant-looking or at least is rather plain-looking. And they use a picture of an individual that is handsome or is beautiful, that's terribly misleading and can lead to confrontations with strangers. We don't need that in our homeowners association.
All right. Mr. and Mrs. Dooley here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And so they're policing it sounds to me like they're policing the homeowners in their neighborhood by way of Facebook. If they're using a fake picture, a picture of themselves that is not them, if they post too many political points of view, if they're using Facebook to post a lot of pictures of news stories, all of this in their minds constitutes red flag behavior on Facebook. 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us here as we talk with them about the Facebook and using Facebook as a homeowners association qualifying to it. Wow, that was, is that the Bradley Gym? Okay. Bobby, you guys...
Phil, if I could just jump in.
Go ahead.
We don't qualify. We don't qualify people.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I mean, I guess.
Well, what we do is we review people once they become residents at Western Estates, and based upon what we see on their Facebook profiles, we will then either email them or pay them a visit, point out things that we may have a concern with.
Yeah, the thing, but Mr. Henry, you were just talking about Robert Benjamin in here.
Off the air, I was, yeah. Let me just tell everybody. I was talking to Dan about Robert Mitchum in the movie Cape Fear, the very menacing character that he played.
Yeah, he said, hey, Buster, I need another blast.
Yeah, that line, he says, hey, Buster, looks like my cousin left me enough money for another blast.
Well, Steve's bringing up a man in our neighborhood that moved in, Raleigh Kramer. The man was from the Southeast. That's a moment of concern. It does not mean that we are not friends with them. It does not mean...
What is a moment of concern?
When we saw that he came from the Southeast, it was not...
Why is that a concerning thing?
Oh, we have finished.
If you'd allow me to finish, Phil.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't want anyone to get the idea that we don't appreciate all of our neighbors, no matter where they're from. When we saw that he came from the Southeast, we simply pinned that individual.
When you say you pinned them, you put a pin next to their name, or...
Exactly. Well, figuratively, it may be anything, a marker, so we'll bookmark. In that case, we bookmark the page. That they come from the South, that's concerning. But this man also had a tendency to dress in that very threatening way. Robert Mitchum, if you ever saw Cape Fear, wore a sort of a straw hat, Steve.
Well, he had a straw hat. He had a white jacket. White. Everything was in white, with a white shirt and a white straw hat.
Okay.
We found that troubling because he was affecting the clothing of a menacing psychopathic killer from this movie, and it was very funny because I can't imagine. So I went down and I confronted him.
Now, this is a man, just so I know, he's also from the South. I think the character in Cape Fear is from the South. We're talking about a man that lives at the Dooley's Homeowners Association, the gated community there, Western Estates. This is a man that lives there, that is from the South, and was dressed like a character, Max Cady.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the name of the character in the film.
Yeah, Max Cady, and he was dressing like this very menacing guy. So therefore, you went down to confront him?
As he was walking by, it wasn't so much a confrontation because I have no problem going over and visiting people in their home. But he was walking by, so I said to Steve, there's the gentleman now. I'm going to go down and talk to him. And I said, Raleigh, how are you? I'm Bobby Dooley. I don't know if we've met. And he said, I'm very fine. How are you? I said, it's a beautiful day. And I made some small talk, and I finally said to him, are you a fan of the movie Cape Fear? He said, no. I said, do you know the character Max Cady? He said, no, I don't.
Yes, he was making small talk. My wife said, you recommend it, you know. And at that time, I came down because I wanted to listen a little closer. And
Why did you come down?
Well, I saw he began to engage my wife, and I wanted to make sure that she was all right.
See, the thing that I'm noticing here is that there's no real reason that I can see to be upset.
Absolutely.
Or to feel that your wife is threatened, or to feel threatened at all.
Well, no, you're right, Phil. I wasn't. Steve came down just as a precaution. That's all.
Yeah, but he's coming down as a precaution because a guy is dressed like a killer in a movie.
He's dressed. He's from the South. And he's dressed as this killer from the film as well as that. And now he is prevaricating a little bit.
Well, why do you say that he was prevaricating? He said he did not see the movie.
He claimed he hadn't seen the movie, yet he's dressed just like the guy. He claimed that he never done on a Cape Fear.
He made these claims, and I'm looking him straight in the eye, and I said, Raleigh, I'll ask you again, have you ever seen Cape Fear? And he said, no, I haven't. Even though he's dressed exactly like this character, Max Cady. And I said to him, and I said it with a smile, I said, I will ask you a third time. And this is when he got a look in his eyes, and you knew, Steve, remember?
Well, it was a very ominous look, and I was frightened for my wife's safety, and that's when I took my wife by the shoulders. I said, well, you know, a very good day to you. And we went up to the house. I moved her in front of me.
All right, well,
Because he got this look in his eye, and I'm telling you, it was absolutely murderous.
Yeah, but I believe, and I could be wrong, that you asked the man...
Again, Phil, I said to him three times, have you seen the film Cape Fear? Do you know Max Cady? He denied it three times.
Yeah, that's almost... And I'm not making a joke, biblical, about the cock crowing.
Well, I don't know if that really relates.
Cock crow three times.
I don't know if that really relates or not, though.
All right. And I don't know if it does either. But the point being here that this man denied having seen Cape Fear. He denied being influenced by Max Cady, and yet he's dressed just like him. And on the third time that he denied this, you said to him, what?
No, I didn't say anything. Steve and I, at that point, Steve gave me a sign. We have a prearranged sign. If either one of us feels uncomfortable, we have a little bit of a prearranged sign. Steve will tap me, you know, in a very loving way.
Yeah, I pat her, you know, I pat her on the rear end, and time to go.
And he moved me in front of him, and we said a very good day to you, sir. But he had a look in his eye that was murderous. I felt unsafe. I felt unclean.
All right, hold the line. Bobby and Steve Dooley, they using Facebook to qualify to get to know their neighbors. And in one instance, a guy that comes from the South, that was a red flag. Dressed like a character in a drama, that was a red flag. 877-876-PHIL. Bobby and Steve Dooley with us here. Facebook, is it a place you should go to figure out more about your neighbors? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
If I can get a
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're talking about Facebook and using Facebook as a tool to keep an eye on, get to know your neighbors.
Well, that's the last description, I think, is we don't want to keep an eye on people. We don't want to size them up.
That's not what it's about, Mr. Henry.
Well, all right, it may not be about it, but you said that you saw that a guy was from the South. You looked at someone's Facebook page.
Yeah, that is Raleigh Ryan, who moved here with his wife about a year ago, and we saw that they'd moved in at the end at one of the cul-de-sacs. And I'd seen him at some homeowners association meetings. He was very affable, but he was a Southerner.
Now, why is that? That's the part I don't get. Why is that a red flag?
It's not a red flag, a bad thing.
No, it is not a red flag. Yeah, when we say that we pin someone, we simply keep an eye on them.
Yeah, but you're giving them a scrutiny that other people don't have.
That's not necessarily the case. It doesn't necessarily have to be about your where you're from. We can tell, you know, the Guthrie family was not Janet's friends.
Yes. I don't know.
Well, Vanessa Guthrie and her husband, Phil, she had a, and I don't think I'm talking out of school here, she had a restraining order.
Hold on for just a minute.
She had a restraining order on her husband.
All right, but hold on for just a minute. You say you're not talking out of school. You just mentioned you mentioned her name.
Once they have the restraining order on a husband, it becomes something you got to talk about.
Yes, and...
It's not something you necessarily have to talk about on a radio show, is it?
I'm saying to you, and I think Steve is saying this, Phil, you know, Vanessa has a restraining order on her husband. That is a matter of public record.
Yes, it may be a matter of public record. It may be something that you don't even, you know, I understand that legally maybe you're in the clear, but I'm asking you, why do you feel it necessary to announce it here on the air?
Well, you asked me for an example of something where, you know, Raleigh and his wife, they're from the South. They dress in a way that makes me uncomfortable and makes Steve uncomfortable. That's nothing that you're going to... certainly, that's not, you know, I'm not threatened by that. We did pin their name. Now when you get to Vanessa Guthrie, a restraining order on her husband, the fact that she posts nonstop stories about women and women being abused and, you know, what's going on with her and her husband. See, it's on Facebook.
It's on Facebook. Look.
No, I know it's on Facebook, and I understand that she's got it on Facebook, but I think it's one thing to post it on Facebook. It's one thing for the person themselves, you know.
Well, I think we're wasting time. I can give you other examples, Phil. You know, we've got a gentleman and his wife, and their three kids, and they tend to post constantly pictures of their dog. Now, we all love animals, but nonstop pictures of their dog and their cat. And this kind of thing is very, very disturbing when you have four children.
And what should they be posting pictures of?
Well, I think they should be posting, my God.
How about other kids?
Hello, how about other children? We have three sons.
Okay, let me ask you something, Bobby, because this is a very, it's tough for me to understand. Are you on Facebook?
We are on Facebook, but we have profiles that are not disturbing. In other words, there's a picture of myself, there's a picture of my husband, there's a picture of my three sons, there's a picture of Western Estates. I post items about our, I'll give you an example of one of my posts. I did mention Vanessa and Raleigh in one of the posts. I said we do have an individual here who has taken out a restraining order on her husband. It makes me uncomfortable to have her here, knowing that.
Yeah, because of the fact, Mr. Ernie, you have to understand, please.
Well, see, now right there, you...
No, please understand, Mr. Ernie. Right there, that makes Western Estates look, we look very, very much a dangerous place to have somebody here that got a restraining order on a husband. Then you take into account Spans from the South. We want people to know that that is the case.
I posted, you know, we have a gentleman here who's from the South. We have a woman here.
But again, in one instance, you have a guy that's from the South. You still haven't told me what it is about him that makes him strange. In another instance, you have a woman who...
Mr. Ender, I didn't say he was strange. That's the point.
Yeah, you're saying to me that this man, Raleigh...
Mr. Ender, please understand, we're not trying to argue.
No, we're not here to be contrary.
No, I understand that. I suppose I'm putting myself in this man's shoes.
No, I put myself in everyone's shoes. The people that are from the South, I ask myself, well, is it going to draw attention? Yes. So if someone says Bobby Dooley comes from the Southeast, and they make a mental note of that as something they're going to want to bring back quickly, I'm going to have to say to myself, I understand that. The fact that, if I ever, God forbid, had to take a restraining order out on Steve, this is going to be something that the Homeowners Association is going to take notice of, and I know it's probably going to eventually get out. It could affect property value.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about right there.
Wait.
Yeah.
When you say, I got a restraining order on me, or this lady, more to the point, this lady, Vanessa Guthrie, has a restraining order out on her husband, and the lady... you're now saying this is driving down property value. So you're making the point that you don't care, it's okay.
Of course we care.
That we do care about.
Anyone with a restraining order, and she put it on Facebook, so that tells me two things. She's got a restraining order on her husband, and she was not very circumspect, I don't think, by plastering this on her Facebook feed for all of us to talk about, because now I'm going to bring this up at our Homeowners Association meeting.
Well, okay, see, all right. So you're saying now you're going to bring it up at a Homeowners Association meeting that it's going to drive down property values. This is a escalating thing, Ms. Dooley, and I would say to you, with all due respect, you're the one that is escalating it.
No, we don't agree with that at all, and we've been accused of that.
Yeah, that is something, Mr. Henry, that we uniformly reject. We haven't escalated nothing. The lady took out a restraining order on him. He had pulled a knife on her and cut her bad.
All right, so now we have not only a restraining order, but you give me the specifics of what happened.
Well, I think I have the right to be concerned about this kind of thing. But, Phil, it's you're focusing on the worst elements. We want to know about people's children. If you've got a pregnant daughter, if you have a son that's been in a fight, we want to know these things. I am not on the air talking about it. I know of people in our community, Phil, whose daughters are underage and pregnant. I know of people in our community, Phil, who have trouble with this. I know of people in our community that are posting very, very, very unusual pictures on their Facebook feeds. Very disturbing.
But so far the most disturbing picture, Ms. Dooley, that you've talked about.
Very disturbing photographs, very disturbing artwork.
Yeah, and a lot of political piece about gun control, about guns. And we're liberal, and we admit everything.
But right there, you're telling me very, very, very disturbing, and yet the most disturbing thing that you were able to come up with when it came to Facebook photographs or pictures, somebody likes to post fanciful art, fantasy art about pixies and fairies and things like this. Somebody else was, you said, who had pictures from newspapers about the news of the day. This seems to me to be very, very common on Facebook.
Phil, it may be common on Facebook. It is not something that we bypass when we look at, when someone moves into our community and I go over there and I ask them what their name is. I've got to get back. I've got to look that up. on Facebook. I got to see if they have a Facebook profile. And you get a lot of people who are already, they want to cause a problem. We had a woman, her husband and she moved in. They've got two Basset Hounds, which I thought was unusual. That's okay, though. The Greckleys, and I said, what is your name? And she said, well, I'm Monica Greckley, and I went back to the house. I did not say goodbye to her. She made a big issue out of that. So I looked up her Facebook profile, and right away there is. You know, she took psychology. She thinks she's better than everyone else. She took all those degrees, right, Steve?
Yes, she had all these degrees. And we said, whoever she thinks she is, she thinks it doesn't spell bad. And we've made a point about that.
Well, you know what? There's an old saying, you know, one man's pie is another man's poison. And what you think is weird, I may not. But everything that you've said to me today on our show tonight, Ms. Dooley.
I know. You don't find unusual. And I think that's wrong of you to pigeonhole us.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't think it's unusual. You went over, you asked her name, you turned around without saying goodbye, and she made a, quote, issue out of that. How?
Well, she mentions to people that I didn't say goodbye to her. What? You know, I'm over there to find out, what's your name? Are you on Facebook? Okay, goodbye. Why does she want, why does everyone want to hang around me and be my friend?
Maybe she just thought it was rude of you not saying goodbye.
Oh, I don't understand what's about that. All the psychology degrees.
All right, so you found out she had a lot of psychology degrees.
Yes, she had the classic profile of someone that thinks they're better than everyone else. This is what we're talking about, Phil. This is what we are trying to get through to you and to your listeners. Believe me, Phil, I'm not a snob. I don't care what people do with their lives. We keep records of people and what they're interested in on Facebook to make sure that they don't...
I guess that's a word the kids use. Creep us out.
Creep us out or bug us or whatever you want to say. Because I find it really, really weird that she made a big issue. And then you go to her website, all of these degrees, not just a degree in, you know, Bachelor of Arts. She's a psychology, criminology. These are the people you want to keep an eye on.
I think what you have, you talk about not being a snob.
Phil, I'm not the one walking around and, you know, with my Facebook page going, oh, look at all my degrees.
Well, you know, again, I there's nothing wrong with talking about the degrees that you have, and there's nothing, I don't see anything wrong with the things that you said to me during this hour about the people that live in your community. A guy from the South, he dresses as if he's Max. Even if he thought Max Cady was cool and he dressed like Max Cady, it doesn't mean that he's a criminal. You got a woman who's got a restraining order on her husband. It's a very tragic and unfortunate reality in America today. You got another, then a group of people with underage pregnant daughters. This is not something that people advertise. And we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's not anything that people readily know, and it's not anything that people readily want anyone else to know. And it's one thing to put it on Facebook in the context that you're putting it on Facebook. Maybe you're talking about it as a form of advice. Maybe it's a life experience. I don't know. But to come out as a homeowners association president and talk about it. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch.
Really
the Phil Henry Show.
Hold on. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us from the Western States Homeowners Association. Facebook profiles, people with Facebook pages. And I take it, Bobby, the people that move in, 90% of them have Facebook pages?
Most everyone does. We have we want younger couples, and by that I mean, you know, in their 40s and 50s is the youngest that we like. And those people tend to have Facebook pages. Older people, we don't keep anyone from moving in, but we... when we meet them, if we see older people driving around or with a realtor, and we will go over and introduce ourselves and ask them if they are looking to buy here. You know, Steve?
Yeah, a lot of them will say, well, you know, we're just looking to say, there's a lot of kids. We try to say something that will discourage it. And I know what you're going to say, Mr. Henry. I know.
Well, that's everything you're telling me here.
Bill, please understand that we don't keep anybody out. It's against the law to keep anyone, discriminate from anyone. But we do have our preferences. I think that is normal. We're not discriminating on the base. We're not discriminating on the basis of race, on the basis of religion, on the basis of disability, on the basis of the being, you know, having a face problem or something. We're not discriminating on the basis of how ugly you are, or if your face, you know,
or race
or religion.
You're discriminating on the basis of age.
That is not discrimination. That is simply a choice that we're making.
That's discrimination, Ms. Dooley.
Well, you know what? I don't want to get bogged down in this. You can talk to our attorney.
Has he advised you different?
Again, I don't want to get bogged down in this.
All right. Let's not get bogged down in that. Let's talk again.
We're not here to be confrontational.
We didn't come on your program to be confrontational. We're trying to tell you what we prefer. And if we see someone that we don't...
That you don't prefer, if they're old. Let me ask you a question. Or if they've had a restraining order.
Well, we can't get her thrown out anything, but we've got a red flag.
What we do is we red flag those, Phil. I told you.
No, all right, let me ask you this. We had... there were comments that you took down on your Facebook page.
No, that was a photograph that Facebook allowed up.
Let me ask you this.
Mr. Henry, that was a Facebook mistake.
All right, but it was a photograph of you and your husband, and in the background, I'm not saying there was anything wrong with it, but in the background, was there not a whip or something on the wall?
That was a private photograph that was posted by mistake, and it was taken down.
All right, it was taken down, but you had that picture, and there was someone in your homeowners association that commented on it, and was there not a confrontation?
No, there was not.
No, there was not. There was no confrontation.
Well, all right.
Yeah, there was no confrontation. Someone commented. They made the comment that, look at how you and your husband get your kicks. It was mean-spirited. It caused me a great deal of embarrassment. There was no confrontation. I was taken to the hospital, if that's what you're talking about.
Well, I know that you were taken to the hospital, but did you not speak to these people at the Homeowners Association meeting?
I spoke to them, Phil. It was not a confrontation. Steve can deal with it.
What happened was my wife went to the hospital because of palpitation.
Your wife had palpitations after seeing this photograph mistakenly posted where there were whips.
Not whips. There was a whip, and there was it was a part of a playroom that we have.
All right, but Mr. Dooley, let's just stop right there, okay? You know, if I was the Homeowners Association president...
Mr. First of all, Phil, I was taken to the hospital. I'd like to make that very clear.
I understand. And you went at the Homeowners Association meeting, you talked to the individual that made the comment.
Yeah, Burlington. Mr. Burlington, Jerry Burlington, Jeff Burlington. And a couple of people, and Bobby...
I'll tell them. Steve, I said to him, are you happy I was taken to the hospital? I could have died. That's all I said.
Well, that was enough for him to take notice of it, because his statement was that you can dish it out, but you can't take it.
That is not true at all. And again, you're being very confrontational. You are not hearing my side of it. You are hearing the side of Jeff Burlington.
I want to hear your side of it, Bobby, but I'm just trying to say, you had a picture of a room that you and your husband keep at your house. Now, please, let me...
Why are you zeroing in on this?
Because if I were the Homeowners Association president at your place, okay...
And you're not, Phil, and you're very unfairly targeting this, and I want to get back to the point, which is that we use Facebook to we don't use it to qualify people. We don't use it to disqualify people. We don't use it to socially prejudice people. That's what you're doing right now. You know?
That's the opposite, right?
No, I am not, Ms. Dooley. I'm doing exactly what you do. You look at a picture, you take note of it,
We don't go public with it, Mr. Dooley, Mr. Henry, except in the case of my husband, Steve Dooley, who noticed the picture of the dogs and cats that this very weird couple and their children had placed on their Facebook page. Very strange.
All right, what you find to be very strange, dogs and cats, and...
No human beings, except for the profile pictures.
Fine. You had a picture...
Yeah, Mr. Henry. You know, I hate to cut you off, Mr. Henry, but you're making a big mistake, focusing down on...
Why am I making a mistake?
You're making a big mistake, focusing down on my picture, my wife's picture. Will you talk about these people dressed like a Southerner? The other lady got a slut, the husband...
So the lady's a slut. Her husband pulled a knife on her and stabbed her. She's got a restraining order. Bobby and Steve Dooley, I appreciate your time.
Well, I think you've treated us in a way that I don't consider to be very forthcoming. We had a lot more to say on this topic, and we feel that you are... Are you going to cut me off?
No, ma'am.
All right, we feel you've been very unfair. We have a playroom. There are items, there are implements that we use to... engage each other in the fantasy of sadomasochism. This is not unusual among couples, but what you decided to do is to focus on the...
Phil Henry.
Screw it.
Screw it.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back here. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. By all means, get a backstage pass and enjoy these shows, not just as audio instruments of entertainment, but you can also watch our live video cast every night here from the El Pacifico. As you see the roiling, boiling, rolling surf behind me, and I'm wearing a, I wouldn't call it a Hawaiian shirt. Well, there's palm trees on it, so, well, just because there's palm trees on it, does that mean it's a Hawaiian shirt? It could be a California shirt. It could be a Florida shirt. Any shirt with any shirt where there's palm trees. Any state where there's palm trees, there's bound to be a shirt with palm trees on it. Maybe even in New York. Maybe even Rhode Island. Anyway, New York has passed the very first gun control law since the unfortunate events at Newtown, Sandy Hook. Jumping out ahead of Washington, New York State enacted the nation's toughest gun restrictions Tuesday, and the first since the Connecticut school massacre, including an expanded assault weapon ban and background checks for buying ammunition. Background checks for buying ammunition. Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo signed the measure into law less than an hour after it won final passage in the legislature, with supporters hailing it as a model for the nation and gun rights activists condemning it as a knee-jerk piece of legislation that won't make anyone safer and is too extreme to win support in the rest of the country. Of course, I'd have to read the legislation. I'll bet you it's nowhere near as extreme as some people think. One of the things I guess about gun rights people is it's not so much the extremity of the measure as viewed by most of us. I think it's seen as extreme by real active gun rights people, meaning, and I don't know what that is, but people that are right there in the wheelhouse of advocating for gun rights every day, I guess any restriction seems extreme. But we'll see. Owners of an estimated 1 million previously legal semi-automatic rifles, such as the Bushmaster model, which was used to kill 20 children and 6 adults in Newtown, Connecticut a month ago, will be allowed to keep their weapons, but will have a year to register them with police. The sale of any more such weapons is now prohibited. This is a semi-automatic rifle. Now, as I understand it, a semi-automatic rifle is anything that you just keep pumping the trigger and it's firing bullets. It doesn't necessarily mean when you squeeze the trigger, all kinds of, you know, it's like it becomes a machine gun of some kind or automatically fires rounds that way. It's just that you're not having to cock the weapon. It simply is reloading. It's cocking and reloading on its own, as I understand. And maybe, Dan, you're a guy that owns a massive amount of weapons. You've got an arsenal up there. What are you? I'm kidding. But am I right about that? Okay. Thank you. So when we talk about a semi-automatic, we're not saying squeeze the trigger and it automatically it can become an automatic machine gun type weapon. That's not the case. We're talking about a weapon that does not need manual cocking to drop a bullet into the chamber and have it ready to fire. When there's a pileup of events, when the federal government does not do it, the state of New York has to lead the way, said State Assemblyman Joseph Lentil, a Brooklyn Democrat and a co-sponsor of the measure. In addition to outlawing a broader array of military-style weapons, the measure restricts ammunition magazines to 7 rounds, down from the current 10, creates a more comprehensive database of people barred from owning guns. What is that? And makes New York the first state to require background checks to buy bullets. That's kind of interesting. That maybe alone was all they needed, but I don't know. The system will also help flag customers who buy large amounts of ammo. Now, we're going to have David G. Hall is going to join us, our vice president of syndication here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, in just a moment. I also am given to understand that there are certain kinds of weapons that can be modified into becoming semi-automatic. Is that correct, Dan? Do you know enough about the world of that cannot? Okay, it's not an easy thing. So all right, so that's interesting to know as well. So this weapon, the Bushmaster, and weapons like it will not be available for purchase in the state of New York ever again, or maybe up to a certain point. People that still own them may own them if you have one now, but it has to be registered with police. So the sale of any more such weapons is prohibited. And everybody's saying the same thing, and I will say it too. Okay, I get it. Now you can certainly bring one of these into New York State. Who's going to know you got it? You're right. If you're a young person and you have an emotional or a mental problem, such as, for instance, Eric Harris, Dylan Klebold, the Columbine guys, you will get your weapon no matter how you have to get it. As you know, they purchased their guns illegally, even though it wasn't about guns. For those two guys, it was about bombs. And so I'm not really sure, but I guess if it makes people feel better, what do you want me to say? Same thing with the bullets. David G. Hall is on the line with us here from one of the fitness centers there in, you working out, David?
As a matter of fact, I am, Phil. I stopped off here from the office.
Where are you?
I'm in South Pass.
Okay. You wanted to talk with me and with other hosts, people that you work with, about the gun legislation, but even a broader issue of talking about the horrible events of that day?
Well, no, what I wanted to talk to you about, and I wanted you to put me on the air, and I appreciate it very much, because I want your listeners to understand that I'm not keeping anything from them. The more that you talk about this, Phil, the more that you talk about not only the terrible events at the school, and I don't want to use the name of the school, but also the more you talk about the legislation, the more you put a crimp in Second Amendment rights. And
wait. Well,
let me just finish here. I shouldn't say Second Amendment. The more you put the conversation keeps going and going and going, and the impetus for gun control legislation becomes much more. Now, I let me just say this. You have a right to your opinion. Everybody has a right to their opinion. We are not here to advocate on behalf of the NRA. We're not here to advocate on behalf of the gun control people. We're here to be objective, and that's all that I would ask of you, Phil, and anybody that that I'm associated with, any of the on-air talent I'm associated with. It just so happens that you and people, I will say hosts like you, are talking about the school and what happened there and the subsequent efforts to not have that happen again a lot. You're over and over and over, and I'm asking you, do you have a definite finite cutoff date? Will there be a day when you'll stop talking about it? That's all that some of the prospective advertisers I talk to want to know.
All right. Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
Why do you need to know this?
Because I've got, you know, there's a concern on my part and on a lot of listeners, especially to talk radio, that the more you talk about it, the more the ball is rolling on this gun control thing. We've got a Second Amendment in this country.
I understand that.
All right. And the more you talk about the event...
We're talking about Sandy Hook. We're talking about Newtown.
See, that's what I was hoping.
But it has a name, and there were children.
I understand. If you could just not bring that up, and let's talk about the gun. What I'm trying to do is just...
You don't want me mentioning any names, anything that happened?
I would appreciate it if you didn't. Because, again, it's very hard for me to...
Let's take a break and take another run at this, David, okay?
All right.
David G. Hall is the Vice President of Syndication for the world-famous Phil Henry Show, talking about this latest legislation in New York State that would control ammunition, control the use of these semi-automatic weapons in the case of this this particular kind of gun, prohibit the sale of these. It is the first comprehensive gun control measure passed in the country since the terrible day in Connecticut. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and for those of you watching Phil TV in HD, you just saw me waving the Phil Hendry coffee mug there in front of you, and it is available online at philhendryshow.com. It's a great... This isn't just some cheesy coffee mug. This is a cappuccino mug, black with a yellow sunburst logo of the Phil Hendry Show, and the sunburst logo is not coming through on our Phil TV in HD. It's actually transparent because of the green screen. That's what causes that. David G. Hall is joining us. We're talking about the legislation in New York State, very strenuous legislation in New York State that would make the AR-15 illegal. And for those who own this semi-automatic weapon, you may hold on to it, but you will have to register it with police. It also makes the selling of ammunition something that is subject to a background check. It also makes the selling, the purchasing of an enormous amount of ammunition, something that flags you and is reported to the police. So there are, you know, there's definitely a tighter, more stringent look at the sale of at least these two things, the AR-15 and the ammunition that goes with it. And to me, David, that doesn't sound, I'm sorry, it doesn't sound like a lot.
It doesn't sound like a lot, Bill, because you're not a, I understand you own a shotgun, but you're not a, I would not say you're a gun activist, a gun rights activist.
But I do support the Second Amendment.
There comes a time, I think, when you say you support the Second Amendment, but you are saying that you support this gun, this restrictions in New York, and I wonder just exactly if you're being honest. Allow me to just say this.
I am being honest.
All right, allow me to say this. I think you're entitled to any opinion you've got. And you're on a talk station, and you're on it, and you do a talk show. But the more you talk about the gun restrictions, the gun legislation, the gun control efforts, the more you keep that on your radio show, the more people talk about it. And I'm speaking just as a private citizen, as a gun owner, and as someone that owns a semi-automatic.
I shouldn't ask you this.
Go ahead.
How many do you own?
Well, okay, you're right. I don't want to answer that.
So more than one?
I do not want to answer it. And frankly, I feel it is my constitutional right.
Even if it were illegal to own more than one? Or
I don't want to talk about it. All I'm saying to you is this. And I wish, you know, I would like people out there, you know, there's a spin in court. You can say disregard the last. I really wish we could do that on a talk show because it wasn't really a fair question.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to separate, David, for a moment, my opinion from yours. I thought that you and I sort of roughly agreed that there is no way that the Second Amendment, you can't roll back gun rights, and I believe in them. Now, I thought you kind of also agreed that there should be some level of control.
I do. What I'm saying is, you keep talking about it on the air.
So your issue is me talking about it.
My issue is you not even talking about it. My issue is you talking about it all the time. Every time I turn that...
Well, I'm not talking about it all the time.
No, I know, but every time I turn the radio on to any talk show, there's somebody talking about gun control, everywhere I go. And I'm saying that, you know, this is tough for me because I believe in talk radio, but it's also, I guess I'll just use the word, it angers me that I'm hearing all of this liberal discussion and gun rights are going to go right down, if I permit me to say, the crapper, as we used to say.
Yeah, but you're not talking to me now as a broadcast executive. You're talking to me as just a gun rights advocate.
No, I'm talking to you as a broadcaster. No, you're getting it all wrong.
Yes, you are, because you're saying that you're hearing too much of this talk and it's making you angry.
Yes.
It's making you angry as a broadcaster?
Absolutely.
Okay, tell me from the standpoint of a broadcaster, why all this discussion of gun control makes you angry?
Because I believe that I have a responsibility as a broadcaster to help people who agree with me as a private citizen. If I'm a private citizen and I believe in the Second Amendment and I believe that it's being threatened by some of this gun control legislation, okay, Phil?
Yeah.
And I'm a broadcaster, then I can do something about it. I can tell the hosts that I work with to lay off, you know.
Well, that's not accurate.
Why not?
Because you can't tell me. You can't tell anybody.
No, I know that, Phil. Look, I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to give the impression that you're your own man. You're going to do what you want to do. Good for you. I'm just saying I have a little bit of pull. You know, I can sit down with you, can't I?
Yeah.
I mean, you and I can have a cup of coffee.
Sure.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I can sit down and say to you, you know, I need for you to back off of this topic because as a broadcaster, I think it's boring, but I also think that as a private citizen, I'm a gun rights advocate, you're hurting me, Phil. And so I want you to stop.
Okay, and let me just say, if you and I were having that cup of coffee, I don't think it's boring, and I'm not going to stop.
And all right, well, in that instance, then I say to you, you know, good luck making any money this quarter. I can't sell your show.
What does that mean?
It means that if there's, you know, I do have some rights. What I'm saying is this. All I'm saying to you is this. If you're going to keep on talking about it, why should I go out and make the effort at selling your show?
So this is a blackmail thing.
No. Hold on, Phil.
No, wait a minute. Yes, it is. Because if I'm talking about something and I'm giving an opinion that you don't like, I'm talking about gun control legislation.
I don't like the word blackmail.
Well, all right, let's not use that word. But what do you call this? I'm talking about this. You don't like what I'm talking about. You sit down, have a cup of coffee with me, and you say, wow, Phil, if you keep talking about gun control...
No, I didn't say if you keep talking about gun control.
All right, if you keep... Yes, you did.
But also, you're expressing an opinion about it that I don't like. That's all I'm saying.
Well, all right, and so therefore, you're not going to sell my show.
It is going to impinge on my ability. I didn't say I'm not going to.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't, Phil. I think your audience will back me up on this. I said it will impinge on my ability to sell a show. I am going to be listening to you basically taking food out of my... You're talking about gun control, and I am getting... That affects me mentally. It affects me emotionally.
What are you telling me that it gets you so depressed, me talking about gun control, that you just don't have the get up and go out and sell airtime?
I wouldn't put it that way. I would, you know, that sounds a little silly, and it sounds like you're mocking what I do for it. I know you wouldn't want to do that.
All right, put it your way.
If if I hear you talking about gun control, and I hear you talking about how this legislation and that legislation, it feels to me like I've got another mountain to climb that I've got, like it's not even worth it, you know. And if I've got another show, I might as well go and sell another show, because I'm not going to make any headway with you talking all of this stuff. Well, how is that blackmail? I'm just stating to you.
You're telling me that because I have a certain opinion,
I'm having a physical reaction.
No, no, David. You're saying that you don't have any get up and go. You can't, you know.
No, if you're what am I saying? I'm saying that if you talk about gun control too much, I get depressed because I don't agree with that.
See, that to me, that's not a physical reaction.
Yes, it is. It is a chemical depression. And I would point you to the works of your the man. You know Hamlin Emery. I mean, he's published on this.
Yeah, Dr. Emery's published a lot of stuff. He's never said that when you get bummed out because somebody...
I didn't say bummed out. I'm not using those kinds of terms.
No, but if you get depressed because someone is saying something on the radio that you don't agree with, and that means that you're not as motivated to do your job that day, that's biochemical. Everything's biochemical.
Bingo. Thank you.
But that is not something brought on by just a haphazard biochemical reaction. That's you getting bummed out that I'm not saying something you agree with, and so therefore you've decided not to go out and work as hard selling my show.
The point that I'm making here, though...
Isn't that what you said?
I don't agree with that, no. The point that I'm making...
You don't agree with that?
No, the point I'm making, if I can finish, is that you're talking about gun control, you're talking about... You never, not you, but these guys, they never shut up about gun control. We gotta stop, because people who were formerly gun rights advocates, now they're turning into gun control, and it's gotta end. And that's why I asked you, have you got a date set when you're gonna just shut up about this?
No, I do not. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Is David G. Hall, the vice president of syndication for our radio show. He's at you're at the fitness center. Is that I don't want to give the name of the place.
It's 24 Hour Fitness in South Pasadena. I am here and working out as I like to do, Phil, after work. I know it's late, but you know you get to where you go when you can.
All right.
And I just to say, because the last couple of nights I've been on, and we've had Jeannie's been on the show, and she's here with me. She does working out.
This girl sounds serious.
She sounds serious as what? As a weightlifter or?
No, I'm sorry. It sounds like you're serious about her.
Yeah, she's not listening. Well, you've got listeners. You've got women listening, I guess. But yes, sure.
Well, all right, that was a big maybe.
She's a very nice lady. She's a very nice lady. She's very, obviously, she's very beautiful. She's got, she's got a great personality and everything. So getting back to the
gun legislation, all right, I wanted to ask you, David, the NRA talks about strengthening mental health reporting and focusing on criminals. I don't want to ask anything specific about what they mean. What do you think they mean, and do you agree with that?
Well, I think I know what they mean. They mean that if a doctor is treating someone like this guy in Aurora, this guy Holmes in Aurora, and the doctor in that case was looking to report this guy. He wanted people at the school to know, or she, I think, was a female doctor.
I believe it was.
Yeah, and she wanted to report to the school. She wanted to get the news out. She wanted to get the word out that this guy was not playing with a full deck. And so she did not really have any outlet for that. She tried to get the letter. It wasn't read. Because I believe in gun rights, it's a little tricky. I don't want her to feel like she's... I don't want any doctor to feel like they've got to report somebody. because that will automatically impinge on the gun rights of the person that they want to report.
Wait. All right, look, if you said, do you think, let me ask you this, okay?
All right.
Do you believe that it should be mandatory for a doctor to report anyone that is being, let's say, treated for psychosis?
No, I do not.
You do not think it should be mandatory?
No, I do not. I think it should be voluntary. And I think that the doctor knows better than the federal government who is so sick that they're dangerous. So I think it should be voluntary by the doctor.
What if the law said you're required to report? So in other words...
No, you're not required.
No, I'm just saying you're required to report somebody if you feel they're dangerous. It doesn't have to be being treated for psychosis. It doesn't have to be, you're giving them antipsychotics. It just means if you feel in your heart, in your professional opinion...
I'm not comfortable with that.
You're not comfortable with what?
I don't want any federal government extending their reach into the rights of gun owners.
How is that doing that?
Because you're making the doctor, you're saying to the doctor, if you feel, okay, now this doctor now has carte blanche to reach into the life of the gun owner that she's treating and destroy it because she may be prejudiced against gun owners. She may be mentally ill herself. She may have, maybe her ex-husband owned guns and she hates his guns. You know what I'm saying?
Wait. How does she know the guy she's treating has guns?
I think they're going to make that assumption. I think if the law gets passed and they say, you are required as a psychiatrist to report anyone who you, in your professional opinion, you think is dangerous. She knows or he knows, that means guns. And I don't like guns. I'm a psychiatrist, and these are people that tend to be liberal, and they tend to be mostly liberal and on the East Coast. So if you've got any West Coast psychiatrists, well, I guess they're liberal too, but they would tend to be probably liberals that are more of a Wild West kind of liberal, where they own guns.
All right, but never mind the region of the country. So you're telling me that I'm saying to them,
you are required by law, if in your estimation the person is dangerous, to report them, gives them now a full playing field, if you will, Phil, nothing but green to the end zone, for them to return that interception all the way into the end zone and screw with a gun owner's life. Now,
I don't see that, I don't understand that at all. Screw with a gun owner's, if a guy is psychotic, if they're treating him for psychosis, and the doctor thinks this guy's dangerous,
Well, first of all, if they're treating the guy right, okay, then they're giving him the medication that he needs. Now he's not dangerous anymore.
And do you think that guy should be able to buy guns?
If he's not dangerous.
So a guy who is a psychotic and is being treated for psychosis.
Yeah, and he's taking his medicine. What? I don't understand. All of a sudden, someone that is sick.
David, you know as well as I do.
Well, hold on. Every time somebody says to me, you know as well as I do, that means, no, I don't. Okay?
All right, let me just say this. People that are psychotic, people that have these kinds of problems often stop taking their medicine. If they're schizophrenic, whatever. They often stop taking their medicine. They feel better. Bipolar people do the same thing. And they're feeling great. Why am I taking this medicine? I feel fantastic. I don't need it. They stop taking their medicine, and then the next thing you know, you've got a police situation, or in the very least, you have a person that is out of control out there in the world, scaring people, scaring themselves, or hurting themselves,
Well, you see, now you say hurting themselves, and what you really mean is they're going to hurt you. See, you're taking a very dangerous point of view there, Phil. You're saying that this person is, I don't want to mess with their guns, and I don't want to, but they may hurt themselves, and...
I'm not. I'm just saying,
See that? I'm just saying that ever since that phrase got into popular use here a while back, just saying, it allows people to sound stupid and then tack on just saying so that they can sound stupid, but they sound like they're a smart guy trying to be just a regular guy, when in fact they're an idiot.
And what do you take me for?
I don't think you're an idiot.
All right, let me finish. A guy who is being treated for psychosis, and he's taking his medicine. and he is now not symptomatic, and he's going through...
Let's not get too fancy.
I have to. We're talking about... He doesn't have the symptoms of a psychotic. I mean, he's not, you know... And now he's fine, and the world is a beautiful thing, and he's going to work, and he's interacting with his wife. He's taking his medicine. He's being responsible. You think that guy should be allowed to buy guns, all kinds of stuff?
Why is that hard to understand?
I just told you sometimes folks like that stop taking their medicine.
All right, so you want to reach right into his life and say, because we think you may be a scumbag, even though you act like a normal man.
I wouldn't use the word scumbag.
No, you wouldn't use it, but that's what he's thinking. He's thinking that the government thinks I'm a crawling scumbag because I take medicine for an illness. Phil, I thought we had moved past those days. That's 18th century bedlam thinking. That's the movie, if you ever saw the movie with Boris Karloff, where the insane, where these gibbering... This is different from what we're talking about now. These people back in this movie, Bedlam, were gibbering lunatics. And today we have psychotic people that are being treated with medicine. Back then they had these chattering lunatics that crawled around on the floor.
Well, yes, David, they're the same kind of people.
Well, I think you're insulting the people that we've got today.
Well, the people we've got today are acceptable lunatics?
No, I didn't say that, Phil. I said...
Well, what you're saying to me is the following thing, that that somehow we are going back in time to a day of the lunatic asylums, that if we refuse gun ownership to a man who's being treated for psychosis, we are no better than the people that run Bedlam. We are, in other words, we're not scientific.
Yes, we're just nothing more than zookeepers. We're nothing more than wardens keeping these chattering, jabbering lunatics and imbeciles chained to a wall. And
I don't see them that way, and I don't think anybody who is a modern human being sees them that way. And I got to tell you, you haven't addressed the problem that we're talking about. And
well, hold on for a minute. Hey, that's my bench. Yeah. No, I want to do some curls. Yeah. You too, stud. How do you like this guy? Guy walked over and says, huh? And that's my girlfriend, too. Stand by, Phil. I may have to kick somebody's ass.
David.
Now, hold on. What? That's my girlfriend. That's my bench. And you look like, Lex Luthor. Good for you. You got a bald head. What? Stand by, Phil.
Hey, David.
Hold on, will you? What about it? Yeah. I don't know. I may be here 5 minutes. I may be here for an hour. Well, because I'm on the radio right now. I'm talking on the radio.
David,
Hold on, God almighty, will you?
I'm on the air.
All right. You know what you're doing right now, pal? You're bothering me. I'm on the air with Phil Henry. You're bothering me. I'm on the radio, and, well, the sooner I get done with this interview, the sooner I get on that bench and I do those curls, and then you may have it, if I decide that you can. Yeah. Yeah, see you later. How do you like that?
David, you can't... I'm on the air. I don't give a damn what's going on. I've got to get this thing moving, and now I'm into a break, okay?
I'm sorry, but the guy was talking to Jeannie like he thought, hey, look at this. I think I'll tag this. I don't see it. I don't see anybody's name stenciled to it, so I had to claim ownership of her. Then I had to say that...
Yeah, we are. And hold on. Had to claim ownership of her. We'll be right back. David G. Hall on the... tracking the people who are mentally ill. And that whole conversation just escaped me. We'll be back. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Yeah. I thought I already talked to you. I said, this is my
bill. You're listening to the world-famous Bill Henry.
I didn't know.
He's got a dog, and I don't know if you know about these dogs. It's called a little dog called a... Hold on for a minute. Hey.
Hey, David, I'm going to have to hang up.
I'm sorry. But anyway, Jeannie's got this dog, and I can see. Can I just say this? She got up to go and get something to drink. This guy's standing there staring right at her ass. You wouldn't do anything?
I'd probably just get her and get the hell out. You know, I just probably would just say, you know, let's move. Is he staring at her ass, or does he want the bench?
He wants the bench. He wants my bench, and she's next to me. He wants that bench. So he's standing. Now he's moving off. Now he's looking at it. See, it's none of my business, but he's looking at another chick's ass. Now he's looking at another chick's ass. They have a, Phil, I'll tell you what's going on.
I don't want to keep track of this, all right?
All right, hold on, but they're doing an aerobics class here. And the women are, you know how they look, right? They're bouncing their rear ends up and down, and he's just standing there staring at every ass cheese. If I was a boyfriend of any of these...
All right, David, so anyway, you're lifting weights, good for you. Now, let's get back to this final minute here, final few minutes, and talk about the notion what the NRA wants. We were talking about mental health, and we're talking about control of criminals. And you don't necessarily agree with any of this.
No, I do agree with it, but it's not what you think. We just don't want to... I don't want to mess... And this is very hard for people to understand. I don't want to mess with the rights of mentally ill people to own a gun. I know it sounds strange.
Strange? It doesn't even sound responsible.
Well, why are you judging people who are, in the old days, they used to call them lunatics? Why are you judging the lunatic?
And you're judging the lunatic.
How?
You're calling him a lunatic.
That's because he is.
Why would you want him to have a gun?
That's where you misunderstand. I didn't say I wanted him to have a gun. I'm simply saying it's not my business if he's got one or not. I don't want to know. And
you don't want to know until that guy picks that gun up and walks into a place where there's a lot of people and starts firing. That's when you're going to know whether you want to know it or not.
I think that's very cruel. That's not fair.
And well, not fair. I mean, that's exactly what's happening. Let's take a phone call here, 877-876-PHIL. Lloyd, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
How are you doing, Phil?
Good.
What's the name of this guy that I'm talking to?
I'll tell you. My name's David G. Hall.
David G. Hall. All right. My name is Lloyd Bonafide. I'm a Korean War veteran, and I've been on Mr. Henry's show many, and I've heard you on the show. Now, you referred to an individual who has a mental illness as a gibbering, babbling lunatic. Did you say that?
What?
I said I was listening to the program.
Right, I got that.
Maybe if you weren't in the gymnasium and being a busybody with a guy looking at your girlfriend or whatever, you could hear what I'm saying.
Nobody stares at my girlfriend's you-know-what, sir.
Your girlfriend's ass? Because I heard you say that.
Well, I don't know that I want you saying it. Phil, if you have a point, sir,
I do have a point. What are you asking for help from Phil for?
Because I'm simply saying...
Lloyd, what was your question, sir?
All right, here's my question. Are you saying to me and to the people listening to this program that it's all right with you if an individual who is half out of his mind owns an automatic weapon? Is that all right with you?
No, sir, it is not all right with me.
And I'm a Korean War veteran, and I want you to know it's not all right with me either.
And I thank you for your service to the country. It is not all right with me. The difference is I can't do anything about it.
You can't do anything about it. Why not?
Because we are only as good, sir, as our weakest citizen.
Don't give me a speech. I want to know why you don't think the federal government could do anything about it. I don't want a speech.
I don't want you to cry.
I'm not crying. I'm getting very frustrated.
All right, let's not yell. I think it's a very good question, David. You know, what exactly can we do then? You say that you don't want, quote, lunatics to have automatic or whatever kind of weapon, and yet you don't feel you can do anything about it. Is that what I'm hearing here?
Bill, what you're hearing is the following.
Well, why don't you answer the man?
Well, hold on for a minute.
Yeah, hold on. Just a moment, Lloyd.
What you're hearing, here's what I'm saying. I value the Constitution of the United States. I value this gentleman here, Lloyd, for going off and fighting for this country. I do. I respect it, I value it, and I would never dishonor it. I value the Bill of Rights and the rights of all Americans, and I value them so much that even if I have to suffer a, you know, to use the word we were using, and I don't, but a giggling maniac, if I have to suffer a, and again, let me underline the words, a giggling maniac with his face painted and wearing God knows what kind of crazy costume, holding a fully automatic, well, not fully automatic, but semi-automatic weapon, with a big smile on his face like he's having a day at Disneyland, then I've got to bite down on that towel. I've got to bite down on that pillow. I've got to chew on that towel until it's in tatters.
Yeah, you know what? And I'll bet you're pretty good at that, too.
Well, I'm not going to comment. That's the most childish thing.
Well, you're talking about pillow biting.
You know.
All right. Okay, hold on. That's a pretty clear statement, Lloyd, what he just said there. What would be your response?
Well, I gave you my response. I said that this guy sounds like a pillow biter from way back.
You've got to insult me. Do you have anything you want to say of substance?
Yes, sir, I do have something to say of substance. What you just said there, that you would, because you honor the Constitution of the United States so much, you would rather see a gibbering imbecile wearing a metal jockstrap.
I didn't say that at all. I said a giggling maniac with his face painted.
I'm sorry, sir. I thought I heard a gibbering imbecile wearing some kind of a metallic or wrought iron jockstrap.
No. It doesn't make any difference. What you're saying, David, is that a lunatic loose on the streets with a gun is somehow what we are destined to have to suffer in order to maintain our rights. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say it that way, because the way you just said it now makes me sound like I'm a maniac, okay? And that's not what I said.
Well, that's exactly what you said, and that's how you sound.
No, I said that I value the freedom of this country so much that a squinting, a squinting, fidgeting, and quivering lunatic with one eye and with a tendency to wearing skin tight pants.
Mister, you sound like a horse's ass.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
And we thank Coach Dozier for being with us. I hope that the coach takes it in the spirit it's intended, the advice and the differences of opinion that we have. I still think there's a place for good old-fashioned parenting, and I don't think that when a young man becomes a football player in high school, he has to just cut himself off completely from his family and butch up and man up and all that stuff. So keep making that applesauce cake bomb. All right, this hour we're going to have with us a young man who has a mobile DJ service and has had his hand in this sort of... The tangential aspects of entertainment, while he also works as a telemarketer. His name is Chris Norton from Redondo Beach, California. We're going to talk with him here about these late-night ads. Now, you know, we're on the radio here late at night on the West Coast and East Coast, all across America, right about the time that we're getting off the air. And I can flip on the TV, and Bud and Robert, you know this. There are ads there for... all kinds of adult products, and I'm talking about sexual products. And there's also, as fate would have it, or as irony would have it, or as the, you know, however you want to look at it, there are ads there for Christian Singles, and Christian, there's one called Christian Mingles. And joining us tonight from the telemarketing conclave there in Redondo Beach is Chris Norton. Chris, you also do telemarketing for a pharmaceutical company?
I do, Mr. Henry. Right now we're wrapping up. This is the third annual sort of a product show that a lot of people go to. Yes, sir.
And but your mobile DJ business is an entertainment business.
Yes, sir.
And tell me about what gave you the idea for this. You want to do a kind of a cleaned-up version of a bachelorette party?
I was... I'm kind of nervous right now.
But you're doing fine.
I was watching pretty much the same late-night TV that you watch, and I saw on there the ads for, you know, these Twister and these are vibrating, you know... Marinades is what they are. I mean, one of them is made by Trojan, which also makes, you know, condoms. There is another one called Adam and Eve, which I think is some oils or something, some sex products. And then I saw the Christian Mingles ad, and the Christian Mingles ad came up right after I saw this vibrator ad. So I was sort of struck by that and recognize, you know, that there is a need for sensuality and sensuality in our lives, even if you are a Christian. And I am personally myself not a, you know, a Christian, but I feel like I could provide, I felt that I could provide a service that way, and that is for a Christian bachelorette parties that are, you know, I guess, it would be, you know, innocent and not be as sexual and like a lot of them are.
Well, tell me what you mean. So we're talking about a regular bachelorette party. We're talking about something with what?
Well, I mean, you know, you're going to have a dancer probably. And I have done dancing at bachelorette parties before. I've danced in clubs, you know, that cater to women.
So you are a a well-built guy,
yeah, I mean, I would say I am, yeah, and I'm, you know, I'm very handsome. I'm not saying that because of ego. I just, I am very handsome, and I'm very sensual. I have a lot of sensual energy, so, you know, my idea was to have bachelorette parties that will cater to the Christian, or just the people that are not, you know, they don't want to have a bachelorette party where there's necessarily a guy that's stripping down to a G-string, that kind of thing.
Okay, so so we know what we're talking about here. Are you talking about coming in and dancing?
Primarily, yes, sir. And that's really, when you talk about bachelorette parties, when it comes to a dancer, that's pretty much all the women want. They want to have a guy that, you know, will come in and will dance. And they want some sensuality and sensuality, you know. But a lot of women don't necessarily, you know, need to have, I mean, if you're good enough, which I, you know, do feel that I am, that, you know, good enough, then you don't have to take your clothes off or just wear a G-string.
So what? So tell me what you would do then. If we're talking about a bachelorette party where you're not stripping down to a G-string, you're a handsome guy, though. You got a good build.
Yes, sir, yeah.
Okay, and so what are you doing? What? How is your act different, and how is yours a little bit more moral? I don't know how you want to say it.
Well, I don't want to say it's immoral to have a guy dance in a G-string, but I would say ours is more, just more oriented to a Christian, you know?
Okay, but you're not a Christian.
I mean, I'm saying to you that I'm not a Christian. I will say... And if we get phone calls, if they'll say, well, are you a Christian dancer? But I don't know if they will or not. We haven't really...
I think if you had Christians wanting to do business with your company, I think a lot of times they want to know if you are or not. But that's just, I don't know.
I might, you know, say that I am, because I was raised Christian, so it wouldn't be a lie or anything. But
So tell me what this act of yours would be. It's for a bachelorette party.
Yes, sir.
And what would you do?
Well... basically, all it is dance. I have a dance, you know, I have a my mobile DJ service that I already use. I've got a variety of drum machines and a variety of sounds, the keyboard sounds, Casio sounds, and then I also have popular music, dance music,
And I would come in wearing a really nice fitting suit, basically the kind of suit that you would wear, you know, if you are in a dance competition. I don't know if you've seen like Dancing with a Star or something like that. I mean, those guys wear, you know, dancer slacks and
right. They've got on shirts and but they don't have suits on.
They don't, but you could wear a suit, and that's what I would do. I would make it a full suit with a coat, tie, you know, and tie clip, and you know, just everything, like a kerchief, money clip, and you know, only the shoes are the only thing different would be I'd be in dancing shoes, and then you come in and you start the music and you begin to do your dance, and you're going up to the different bachelorettes and different, you know, women, and you know, dancing for them and everything. So it's not really that much different.
But you're fully clothed. In other words, you're not.
Yeah, I'm not stripped down. But I think what makes this really a great idea is you could do this. If there could be kids, there could be like a 12-year-old girl there. There could be a 13. You know, underage girls could be there, and you don't have to worry about it being nasty. Even though there is sexuality, it's not nasty. You know.
You're saying it's not nasty.
Yes, sir.
All right. How does one dance sexually, even if you're in a suit, as you say that you would be in? How do you dance sexually, or how do you emit sensuality?
Well, I mean, you can still do the same kind of dance moves. You can move your hips, even though you are in a full suit with a coat and tie and so forth. You can still dance up to, like the bachelorette. Let's say she's the guest of honor, I guess, at her own party. So I would, you know, dance up to her, you know, with kind of showing sensuality. And that would...
What does that mean?
I mean, that would involve moving your hips. And I'm moving my hips, but I'm in a suit and tie. And so, and I'm also, I'm you know, bending over and touching my toes and stuff, you know, basic dance moves, but I'm in a coat and tie. And then you get into a squat, you can do that. But I'm in a squat while I'm wearing a coat, a tie, and possibly a vest. And
you're in a coat and a tie and a vest.
Well, sometimes it depends. It depends on what they request, because they're going to request a look. You can say, I come in a suit. I'll come in a suit with a vest. I can come in a tuxedo. I can come in a. There's a lot of different looks.
But it's all sort of this suit and tie thing. I have to tell you, and I think it's a good question, do you think it is still, if you've got a 12-year-old or 13-year-old girls there, like you said, you could, even if you're undulating your hips, isn't that a little sexual?
Not if you're in a full suit. You know, if you're in wingtips and...
Well, you said you had dance shoes?
Well, maybe I have dance shoes. Maybe the carpeting or the flooring is good enough where you could just wear wingtips. If you're in wingtips and like a tweed, maybe they want you to dress up like you're a, you know, English professor. So you're in a tweed jacket and a vest and wingtips. Even if you are doing those moves, you are sort of like, you know, looking like an English professor is the best way I know how to do it.
All right, we're talking to Chris Norton about his, we were discussing all of the late night adult TV ads right next to the Christian Mingle ad. So you've got on the one hand the Trojan Vibrations ad, and then you have the Christian Mingles, and you're doing a bachelorette, a DJ service where you dance for the women, only you're in a suit.
Yeah, different suits, yes, sir, or tuxedo or something like that. But always with a set. Always with the cess up front. You know, if you're wearing, like, for instance, a tuxedo, you want to make sure that the cess is always very up front and relevant. If your sensuality and the sensuality, and...
Well, we say the what? The sexuality?
Sensuality and sensuality.
Sexuality and sensuality?
Yes, sir. Is up front, then it doesn't matter if you're in a tuxedo. It doesn't really matter. Especially, you know, if you are in formal wear or something like that. I mean, it's excellent, and I think women will find it to be an excellent way of spending the evening.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Chris Norton there at a pharmaceutical gathering in Redondo Beach. 877-876-7445 on the idea of a Christian bachelorette party where Mr. Norton... He's a dancer and has done dancing for women's parties. He would come dressed in a suit and or a variety of different suits to entertain women who, you know, are of that persuasion. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
It really is. Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With us is Chris Norton. Mr. Norton is a telemarketer, but he's also an entrepreneur in the entertainment business. As we've been discussing, late-night television increasingly getting, I don't know, risky. It's not risky, but there's increasingly more sex products, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry. I mean, when you were talking about the Twister, and a Twister is for someone like myself. I've danced for women. I for whatever reason, I mean, I'm very attractive, very handsome, and so women do get attracted to me. And so I have, you know, in my own personal life, used Twister and some of these other products. I'm very familiar with the SAS products. But I was thinking, you know, as soon as they show the Twister, then they also show Christian Mingle. And I'm thinking, well, who, you know, what are the Christian woman, what does she get? Because most likely they're not going to use a Twister.
You don't think Christian women would use that?
Not my experience. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but I have had experience with Christian women, and they do not many times will say, you know, they don't say don't use Twister, because I'm not going to say to them, hey, look, I've got a Twister. They're going to say just don't use.
Okay, well, I don't want to know any more about that. So getting back to what you do, and what we're talking about here is Chris's business booking bachelorette parties where you dance in a far more modest way, I think is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And you don't strip down to a G-string like a lot of the guys do. You keep your clothes on, but you are wearing... But what's the attraction? I realize if a woman is, you know, a Christian or she's moral or whatever you want to say... You say, oh, I keep my clothes on. I suppose that's good. But what, you know...
Well, I mean, I am very handsome. And that's, for a great many women who are, you know, very religious, especially like if they're a Christian, you can say, well, I'm not a strip, you know, which they can't really say, yeah, strip, because their religion's not going to let them. But if you tell them, but I am very handsome... That's a big plus, because at least they know that you're going to show up and you're going to be handsome, you know. And I also am built, you know, I do work out, you know, daily. In fact, I work out on weights, Mr. Henry, every other day, so I let the muscle tissue, you know, build back up. And
I don't know anything about that. So you've got a very good workout regimen.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I work out, and I also do cardiovascular every other day, and I do muscle every other day. I mean, I'm very good looking, so I tell them, you know, well, I'm not going to strip down, which I know you don't want because of the Christianity, but I am, you know, good looking.
Okay, so tell me some of the suits you wear, and are you going to do a little bit of the dance for us here, or?
Well, I know we're on the radio, but I was going to give you a description, and I got one of, you know, a girl that I know is here. What's your name? Okay, Karen, K-R-I-N, yeah, is here, and she's going to help me out. She's got the music.
Is this a girlfriend, or?
She's So I have the music here, and I could do it. But what I do is I get into a variety of different suits, you know, and I'll show up at the bachelorette party, and I'll do a very accessible dance, but I'm dressed either in a tweed jacket or I can wear a chef outfit.
A chef outfit. So you're wearing professional outfits as well?
The chef outfit, I wear an apron and a hat, you know, but I'm doing this really sexy dance, and women... They like that because women like to see men in their work clothes, but also be sassed, you know, be well sassed, you know.
Well-sexed. Okay, so what are you wearing right now, just out of curiosity?
As a matter of fact, I do have on, it's one of the costumes we pick out a day, and I put it on when you were doing your commercials. It's the chef. I'm in the chef outfit. We call it Boyardee, which is like a...
call it like Chef Boyardee?
Well, no, it's not Chef Boyardee, but we call it Boy, that's a code name for Boyardee. So if someone calls in and says, you know, we want to book your bachelorette party, like you come and dance, and we say, well, okay, I can come as a college, I can come in the tweed jacket, I can come as an insurance salesman, I can come as a, you know, an inspector, I can come as a, we have one, I think we got the other one, Karen? Yeah, we got a lot of people will, a lot of women are excessively, you know, excited about workmen. We have one who is the bug, like the exterminator, like Orkin Man.
And you have an Orkin Man outfit?
Yes, sir. I mean, it sounds kind of crazy, but... And then they said, well, and then we have a chef. So I'm in the chef outfit.
Well, go ahead and do your dance. This is Chris Norton is going to give us an example of the dance that you do. So you're in a chef outfit right now, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, turn around. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I've got on my chef hat, I've got on an apron, and I'm wearing just basically petroleum-based shoes that you would wear in a modern commercial kitchen. And don't turn it up that loud. Don't turn it up that loud. All right. Do. Okay, one, two. Now I'm doing a hip hunch. I'm doing my hip hunch back and forth with the hips and the buttocks. Whoa. Yeah. This is where you're moving up to the woman, the bachelorette, Miss Henry.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm dancing up to her with my hips going back and forth. Yeah, love train, yeah. Then you turn around. What you do is you try to get the... Then you tell the bachelorette to grab your hip, your butt, or not your butt, but... And then you do like a love train around the room with all the women, and you're dancing. I've got a big spoon. So what it is it's really... Turn it off for a minute. What it is it's really kind of a fun... That's the beginning of it. It's not too set. Then it will begin to get accessible, you know.
Okay, because what you just described there is you're dancing around the room.
No, I'm not dancing around the room. It's a love train with the other women.
Right, okay, but you've got a big spoon, did you say? Or?
Yeah, this is part of the costume. Don't fixate on the spoon. It's the costume looks a lot like if you saw the Anderson Split Pea billboard. You ever see the Split Pea?
Yeah, Anderson Split Pea Soup, yeah.
You see those two chefs?
Yeah. Oh, okay, so you look like one of those guys?
Yeah, except I'm you know, I'm fit, I'm set, you know, I'm very sexy. I've got, but they've got a giant spoon, so I dance around with the women, and I got a spoon, the giant spoon. Maybe I'll lose the spoon, but I think it's a fun way. And the spoon is also very accessible because the spoon I use as a prop, as sort of a phallic. Later on in the dance, when it gets really heated up, then the spoon becomes, you know, like a probing instrument.
All right, well, go ahead and finish your dance. We got another minute.
Well, we got to start it all over again.
Okay, so we're going to go to our break.
Got to start.
Now turn it off. Turn it off.
Turn it off. Karen, turn it off.
We'll be right back, okay, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Chris Norton with us as he talks about his bachelorette business where he dances in a very moral and very modest way. He doesn't strip his clothes off in case you're a woman of, you're religious. He dances in a suit. In this instance, though, he had on a chef outfit with a giant spoon. It sounds, I'm going to have to ask him, what happens if it gets a little too comic? Because that sounds a little comic. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Woo! Here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with us is Chris Norton from Redondo Beach tonight, and we're talking about a new mobile entertainment service that you're providing, Chris, which is a Christian bachelorette presentation, that is a dancer yourself, because you've had this dancing experience, entertaining women. true? I mean, you did say that you...
Mr. Henry, I've had a great deal of experience entertaining at, Bachelorette, as well as, I've done some dancing at, and I've also done some, I don't know what, if you want to know about it, but I have also done, some adult film, but I'm not doing that no more.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL is our number. You were, and we're going to get some phone calls, but you were demonstrating your dance, and I just wanted to be clear that, is that it there?
Yeah, play it, yeah, okay, so... What question do you have, Mr. Henry?
With the fact that you're dancing around the room with a spoon, and my question was, does it get comic?
No, sir, it's not comic at all. I mean, you have to understand women. Kill the music. I think you need to understand women, Mr. Henry. I have been with women. I've been with many women in my life, and I know that, women, they entertained by workmen, and guys who are doing their job, and it's very, masculine and everything. So when I show up as a chef or as the organ man, it may sound comic to you, but it's very accessible for women to see that. It's very sensuality.
And the organ man, though, I mean, there's something about that that's pretty funny, don't you think?
No, I mean, no, not if you understand women the way I understand them. And women, they like the idea of a workman coming into the house, and he's all, yeah, and you got to understand, he comes into the house. I'm not being threatening or nothing like that, but I'm very accessible, and I have, maybe a few buttons open, and I also have the canister. I'm going to spray for ants or something, and the sexuality is what you need to understand about it, and so that's what we do you turn the music up. That's what we do in the dance. I'll also start things off with, like, a gong sound effect, and then start the music.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's go over to Mavis. Hi, Mavis. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Mr. Henry, I'm here when a man is singing, and I will tell you, I'm a Christian woman.
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't know if you can hear me. I sound very noisy on my phone right now.
I can hear you.
I'm a Christian woman. And I can tell you that what I'm hearing this man talking about, he may say he's wearing a suit or he got on a chef outfit or something, but it sounds very immoral to me.
Well,
go ahead, Chris.
Ma'am, I'm just curious. What is it about what I'm doing that's immoral? I mean, I'm not taking, my clothes off.
You are dancing around the room. You are front. You said you do a hip thrust.
Is that what you're doing, Chris?
Well, I mean, yeah, we're doing a hip thrust. What I'm doing, basically...
You said you was dancing up to the women. I can't hear what you're saying. Yeah, you dancing up to the women, and you punching your hip, what we used to call a hip punch. And
I don't know what that is.
A hip punch when you're basically pushing your butt out. Are you going? My question is, excuse me for saying, are you going butt first or?
No, ma'am, we're not going butt first. I'm going the other way.
Well, all right. Still, then you said you flip around and you do a rumble line or something like that with a giant spoon.
Yes, ma'am.
And you said you use that giant spoon as a probing instrument.
Yes.
I've been to parties like that, Mr. Henry. I don't want anything to do with it.
When you say you've been to a party like that, you're talking about a Chippendale style dancer.
No, I'm talking about I've seen these props. He talked about he was going to show up as an organ man. That I went to a party on the 19. I'm going to try and remember 1978. I've gone to a party. They had an organ man was going to dance. It was a girlfriend. My girlfriend, her boyfriend was going to dance. He'd been the organ man, and he showed up with an organ man outfit and everything. Had a canister. You talk about a probe instrument. Had a can of insect, a bug spray, and that's supposed to be sexy. I know some girls that thought it was sexy, but I didn't.
No, ma'am, that's not supposed to be sexy. I mean, bug spray is not sexy. The bug spray is just a prop. It's not the sexuality.
And that's another thing I want to say. I can't understand anything you're saying at all. You're going sexy. You sound like you are missing a bridge work.
I mean, what is she talking about?
Well, you got sounds like you got a little bit of a sinus thing.
I can tell you that the act that I do is sassy. It's very sassy.
Right there, very sassy. And you dressing up like a chef, it sounds immoral to me.
Okay, the immorality that you're talking about, Mavis, I'm gathering, is from the fact that even though he may be in a suit, you know, he's still dressing.
Yeah, that's right. He's still dressing. He's in a suit, but he's still he's doing a butt punch. He's leaping around the room with a probe.
Ma'am, I didn't say it was a probe. I said sometimes you can use it as a probe.
Well, wait, what else are you leaping around a room with a spoon? I know you're a chef.
That's the prop, because I'm a chef.
I know you're a chef, but you said you would use the spoon at some future moment as a probe. Now, I told you I was at a bachelorette party one time. I've been to all kinds of bachelorette parties. I'm a Christian woman, and I believe very much in the salvation of my soul through Jesus Christ, so you can't fool me. And I've been down into some sewers in my life. I went to a bachelorette party one time. Man had a probe there. He come like the orchid man, just like you say. I remember another man came as a pool boy. He had a big net. But every time you talk about probe, and
well, that doesn't sound very moral either. It doesn't sound very modest, the probe instrument. I don't know what you're talking about there, so I have to agree with the lady.
All I'm saying is, it's just a prop. I don't really use it for nothing.
But for me to run around a room and I'm dancing behind a man with a giant spoon, I feel like I look like the biggest fool on earth. I look like the biggest fool on earth.
Well, I'm sorry to feel that way, ma'am, but if you want, you can call. I can give you my number later on. Do you have someone?
Yeah, my niece is going to get married, but I ain't going to call you up and have you come over her house in a chef costume.
I can wear a different costume.
What other kind of costume you got?
Well, he's going to be wearing suits.
Well, I don't have a problem with a suit, but what kind of, you said you got a tweed jacket? No. I don't like anything he's saying.
Well, ma'am, I've got also, I can come dressed as an insurance salesman, as a dentist.
A dentist?
What's sexy about coming dressed as a dentist?
I told you, Mr. Henry, I'm what see the Seth is me.
You the Seth?
Yes, I'm the Seth. I'm the Seth. And so when I show up, the Seth has arrived. Doesn't matter what kind of costume I wear. You know?
If it doesn't matter what kind of costume you wear, then why are you even dressing up in any kind of a costume at all?
Bingo.
Because it does matter the costume, but the sense, I can dress up like in a chef costume, I can dress up in a, like I'm cleaning the pool, I can dress up in a, but the sense is the same.
I don't.
All right, well, Mavis, thank you for your call.
I wouldn't hire this guy to change the cat box. I could.
All right, 877-876-7445 here on the Phil Henry Show. With Chris Norton, that lady obviously is not representative, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, she says she had a niece, but she's elderly, you know, and I don't know whether that's...
877-876-7445 is our number. When I say not representative, she is elderly, but she's also somebody who's in that demographic as a Christian, you know.
That's the part that I was, you know, was hoping for, and I thought she'd, you know, understand that, you know, if I get into a chef outfit, I'm going for broke. You know, I'm not just going to be...
But she didn't like that. She didn't like that. 877-876-7445. Let's go over to Margaret in Santa Monica. Margaret, go ahead.
Yes, so I'm listening to this man, and I find what he's saying to be interesting. And I'm finding what he's saying to be original. I don't really know how sexy one can look in a chef outfit per se, but I will tell you that I've seen very many attractive men dressed in all kinds of work clothes. It's a little different for women.
Absolutely, yes, ma'am.
When you say you dress as the Orkin man, you're talking about an exterminator.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I dress as but I have a little Orkin man patch. Also, Wesser exterminator.
Who is that again?
Western Exterminator.
You say Western Exterminator?
Sound like Western Exterminator.
Yes, Western.
Uh-huh. And you wear the uniform and you come in with the canister with the poison.
Yes, ma'am, we do. Well, there's not real poison in it. I mean, a lot of times we put margarita mix in there or something like that.
Uh-huh. Do you dress, for instance, I could ask you this. Do you dress, and this, again, Phil... is if you're talking about what women like and you are dressed in a suit, and there is a potential for explosive sexuality. Do you dress as a Jehovah's Witness? Do you know what I mean by that?
You're talking about like a white suit, something like that?
Yes, there are, some of them wear the white suits.
I don't know if that's a Jehovah's Witness.
I have seen the Christians who ride the bikes and wear a white buck. They wear a white buck shoe, like a
yes, a white sport coat. You know the song, A White Sport Coat and a Pink Carnation? Do you know that song?
No, ma'am, I don't know it.
Well, that is something that I had in mind for a bachelorette party that we're planning for a young woman. She is the daughter of a dear friend of mine. And as you were talking about having a very moral and Christian bachelorette party, and I'm wondering if you ever dressed in the white missionary suits that you see so very often in East Los Angeles in the Hollenbeck Division.
The what?
Hold on, Phil, okay? Go ahead.
I have not been to Hollenbeck Division in East L.A. I don't know.
What do you mean the Hollenbeck Division?
There's a kind of a Christian missionary in a white suit. Let me talk to the man. Do you dress like a Jehovah's Witness?
I've not. Yes, we will. We will wear the white. You want me to dress? I can. And
it's a short white shirt with a thin black tie?
Yes, I can do that.
Oh, God. Oh, that is interesting. That's very interesting.
Margaret, let me ask something.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to ask. So this is a bachelorette party that you're planning?
Yes. It's for Candy Dugan's daughter. She's getting married. And I was listening, and I thought, well, this is interesting. I was getting interested. So, but now he says he can show up and dance dressed as a Jehovah's Witness, and I just find that terribly exciting. It's terribly exciting.
I'll give you an example of what I'm doing. If you can imagine me in a hobo witness or how is
a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, turn it up. Turn it up, Karen. Yeah.
Oh, God.
And so what I'm doing now is
So you're doing the butt punch.
Yeah, I'm doing a butt punch now. Moving toward, moving forward, moving forward, moving forward, moving forward. Why'd you keep stopping it? Don't stop it and start it again.
Who is that woman that you have working with you? Because she sounds stupid.
Oh, she is. She's really stupid. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Love train. Now I'm taking the thin, I'm just imagining this. I'm taking the thin Jehovah's Witness tie and I'm swirling it. I'm swirling it and twirling this and twirling it and everything.
Yeah, you're twirling it.
Yeah, that's, is that what you call it?
Yeah, that's what you call it.
Well, boy, you've done a lot of dancing. You don't know what it's called?
Hold on, Miss Mary.
Yeah, Bill, just back off.
And now I'm doing just, yeah, butt punch. Now there's a hip hunch. Now I'm turning around. And I'm turning around now, and I'm going butt first. Okay.
And then comes the rumble line.
Now comes the rumble line, yeah. Instead of the spoon, I'm waving that witness, magazine, whatever that thing's called. And
yeah, the Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, boy. You know, I think that this is, I would consider this to be bigotry.
What are you talking about?
I just think it's very bigoted. Turn that off, will you, please?
Turn it off, Karen.
What are you talking about?
I think it's a very unfair characterization of a religion. That I think you're mocking a religion unfairly.
Well, Mr. Henry,
hold on, Chris. Hold on. Don't upset your pretty self. Phil, you're talking to Margaret Gray. I'm a journalist. I believe in free speech. Are you trying to tell me that we're not allowed to make fun of Jehovah's Witnesses? We've been doing it for almost a full century. And
well, Margaret.
No, hold on. And for you to tell me that I can't mock a Jehovah's Witness.
It just seemed a little unfair, you know.
Well, look at you. I thought you were Mr. Free Speech.
I am free speech. Nobody's telling you. I just thought, you know.
Sorry, I'm trying to get a business going. For you to just, take a dump on it.
Look at you. Yeah, exactly, Chris. You're defecating on this man's business.
I won't have that kind of talk, all right? And
oh, God, so we can make fun of Jehovah's Witnesses. You can't say the word defecate. You can't.
Thank you.
Boy, you hanging up a lot of people this week.
Yeah, well, stick around, man. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Yes, that's right. I don't know. Maybe that was a very square conservative moment, but I just don't like singling out. I mean, 877-876-7445, the Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I'm going to try and do that, too.
Well, what you should do is...
Hold on. We're on the air here, folks. Phil Henry here on with Margaret Gray. Chris Norton is joining us as we continue our conversation. I'm sorry that I hung up on you. I had to cut you off. We were going to a commercial break, and the conversation was getting a little out of control.
Well, Phil, I'm not really accustomed to having people tell me what to do. I know that you have a radio show, and I know that you have to... obviously, you have to guide the programming, but this young man, Mr. Norton, was talking about something that I think has great potential. If he's talking about doing this, is that the music I'm hearing, Chris?
Yes, sir. I'm just doing some. I'm just practicing some dance steps.
You're practicing now?
Yes, sir. I'm just. I'll show you. Yeah. If you can imagine, I'm just doing. Now I'm doing a kind of a, you know, it's kind of an Irish jig that I do, but it's called Sessie, too. It's just a Sessie jig.
And you have your hands up at the side like you're doing a Scottish little thing?
Yeah, kind of like the way the Scottish people do it.
Oh, God. That I can see it. I can see it in my mind's eye.
Karen, what do you think? See?
Who is Karen? Are you serious about her?
Yeah, you know.
I'd like to talk to you later about...
Okay, look, that's fine. So he's doing an Irish jig. What else?
Well, now he scared me.
Bill, don't yell at him.
What are you, his manager all of a sudden? What else are you doing, Chris?
Well, right now, I was just working on this other dance step. Turn it up, Karen. Get this train. I'm thinking about a train, but I'm also thinking about as a Jehovah's Witness, you know. So I'm trying to figure out what the name of that magazine is. Oh, Watchtower. That's the name of that.
Yeah, Watchtower.
Okay, so Watchtower. So I'm pointing to my watch, and then I'm waving Watchtower as if it...
As if time's running out.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God, that's sexy. God!
People, time's running out, yeah.
So, all right, that's good. To have her, to have whatever her name is.
Turn it down, Carolyn. Oh, wait, I like the... I forgot to tell you, I do the... I do harmony to this.
Yeah, that's real good, Chris. Okay, I get it.
And then I go back to dancing.
All right, have Karen turn that off.
Turn it off, honey.
Okay, where did we lose the line, or are we... oh, there they are. You back?
The things they do.
Well, my idea was this, and I want to just run this by you, Chris, and you, Phil, too, as well, Phil. You're in on this.
Yeah, it is my show, and I am...
Yes, we know, Phil. It's your show. God.
Always like this?
Yeah, every time I call him up, he's like, oh, it's my show.
Don't talk about me like I'm not here, if you don't mind.
Sorry. Here is my idea, Chris. When you say it's time, the Watchtower, it's time, what you have done, and I think this is terribly exciting, you have taken the concept of the apocalypse, of the rapture, and you have wrapped sex around it. And I think it is unique. I think... What do you think, Phil?
I think it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
You think it's the stupidest thing you've ever heard?
That, Mr. I mean, Miss Gray.
I just think the whole idea... You know, we're living in a day and age now where everything has sex wrapped around it. It doesn't make any difference. Even breakfast has sex wrapped around it. Brushing your teeth has sex wrapped around it. Buying furniture. Buying socks. Jock itch. Venereal disease.
Well, of course venereal disease has sex wrapped around it.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. Even the least sexy, least the most life-threatening, the ugliest things, somehow we have to put sex into the equation. So for you to say that you want to have sex injected into the concept of the apocalypse, I can't get my head around it.
That's because you don't think creatively. Is that the end music? He always plays this end music.
You mean like end times or...
No, the end of the hour. I'd like to talk to you about this. I think this is wonderful. Guys in short white shirts, black ties, pointing at their watches, waving the Watchtower, and then butt first, butt punches. Just wah. Do it again. Yes.
Oh, God.
Phil,
Thank you very much.
Don't you dare hang...
I just did. Phil Henry Show, our News and Information Hour, coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Pointing at your watch.
Phil Henry.